third of Florida's 2 million Republican voters have already cast their ballots in the state's early voting, and the primary is tomorrow.
This is Howard Ehrenstein. Romney kept pounding away at Gingrich, especially his proposal for a lunar colony.
Senator the Moon, he says. All right, well, the idea of the moon as the 51st state is not what would have come to my mind.
You cannot get to be president if you don't have the courage to tell the truth to the American people.
Gingrich kept questioning Romney's honesty and pledged that Florida will not be the end of his campaign.
We're going to prove over the next several months people power can beat money power every single time.
The latest polls, though, show Romney may be heading for an easy victory in Florida. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
A handful of U.S. citizens told they can't leave Egypt or safely in the U.S. Embassy in Cairo. Egypt is investigating foreign funding, including U.S. funding of 17 pro-democracy and human rights groups. Among the four stranded citizens is the son of Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood. Just days after the FBI brought charges of harassing Latinos against four East Haven, Connecticut police officers, the police chief is retiring. Mayor Joseph Maturo made the announcement.
His decision to retire at this time is a selfish act designed to assist in a healing process.
Latrina Kelly at the Junta for Progressive Action wants more.
The history of racism is not going to be overcome by this single act. I think the mayor of East Haven has to be committed to making true changes.
The Massachusetts dentist who used paper clips in root canals is going to prison.
Michael Clare was let out of the courtroom in shackles after learning his sentence of 1 year in jail. Judge Richard Moses explained his reasoning for going lighter on Clare.
I certainly considered the defendant's acceptance of responsibility, the fact that he has no criminal record.
Clare admitted to using paper clips instead of stainless steel posts when performing root canals on some of his patients. Several of those people suffered infections, including Brenda Almeida's teenage son. I asked her how she felt about Clare using paper clips in her son's mouth.
Maybe you got a sale at Staples? I don't know. I trusted him. He was like a friend to me at first.
Kim Tunnicliffe, CBS News, Fall River.
911 tapes released from yesterday's deadly multi-vehicle crashes on I-75 near Gainesville, Florida.
There's a lot of people laying down on the floor and looking like.
Okay, you see a lot of people? Are they lying down?
Yes. Her phone is going by. Oh, gosh.
You're right. 10 people died. 18 were injured in a collapsing accordion of crashing cars and trucks. In dense fog and wildfire smoke, fewer teenagers are getting their driver's licenses in Ohio. The state's Motor Vehicles Bureau says it is harder for teenagers to find jobs to raise the money they need to buy auto insurance on their own. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 24.5 points. The Nasdaq has lost 4, and oil at $98.82 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hey there, you've reached Claire. Leave me a message.
Claire, it's Ann. Hey, you know that hormone balancing product we talked about before? The all-natural one. Amberin? Well, I gotta tell you this. Not only did Amberin stop my hot flashes, but since I started the Amberin program, I have lost so much weight. Seriously, even my belly fat, it's gone. I haven't been this thin in years. I feel great. Give me a call.
The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to lose weight. Amberin restores hormonal balance naturally, so the weight can just fall off. Yes, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Amberin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging, too. So with your hormones in balance, you can feel great and finally lose the weight. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply. Free. Call 1-800-861-7555. That's 1-800-861-7555. 1-800-861-7555.
Maybe the big search engines can stop crooked online identity fishers.
Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, and AOL among 15 companies uniting against online fraudsters. They're working on an industry-wide standard of anti-phishing technologies. The Wall Street Journal says much of that software already exists. PayPal's using it to block about 200,000 phishing emails a day. In the meantime, current guidance holds don't hit reply unless you're positive that email's genuine and never reveal passwords or account information in response to an unsolicited email. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
You wonder when the colloquial nickname for Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, New Jersey might become the cemetery. Donald Trump is reportedly considering a burial ground next to his golf club, with a spot reserved for himself, his family, and for members of the club who want to have their ashes spread there. Or maybe they'll just call it the Fairway to Heaven. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
What if you served and sacrificed for your country, but couldn't get the specialized care, military benefits, and career opportunities you needed? Chris Sullivan was shot and paralyzed in Iraq, and now needs our help to get back into life. Paralyzed Veterans of America is on a mission. Mission Able, to help our seriously wounded veterans get the care, benefits, and jobs they've earned. Join the mission now for America's Paralyzed Veterans at mission-able.com.
My game plan for big game entertaining? Sam's Club.
Member Casey Harrison.
We save on all the snacks, all the drinks, even a sharp 60-inch LED TV. So on game day, the best seats in the house are gonna be in my house.
Not a member? Start your new Sam's Club Plus membership now through February 5th and score extra points with a $20 gift card. Then make saving part of your game plan all year long.
Great prices, great selection, great party. In my book, that's a win-win-win.
Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
Can we talk? Can we talk? Yeah, we can. Okay, you're with Bill Benica. This is Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network at 1340 KYMS, and we're going to do some yakking today.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Yay, Monday. Can't trust that day. Okay, this is a thing I got off the internet. It was a joke a friend sent me, and so I could try to change all the first person, third person, second person, add to the latter, the former, the backwards, and the forwards, but I'm not going to do that. We're just going to read it the way it was sent to me. Of course, this is probably baloney, but who cares? Cute story. So we'll make it a joke. Story from a Kansas State Highway Patrol officer. I made a traffic stop on an elderly lady the other day for speeding on US 166 eastbound at mile marker 73 just east of Seddon, Kansas. I asked for a driver's license, registration, and proof of insurance. They took out the required information and handed it to me. In with the cards, I was somewhat surprised, due to her advanced age, to see she had a concealed carry permit. I looked at her and asked if she had a weapon in her possession at this time. And she responded that she indeed had a .45 automatic in her glove box, something body language or the way she said it made me want to ask if she had any other firearms. She did admit to having a 9mm Glock in her center console. I'd ask one more time if that was all. She responded once again that she did have just one more .38 special in her purse. I then asked her, "Who are you so afraid of?" She looked me right in the eye and said, "Nobody."
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed. Which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more Cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free, because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter Internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
No, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osus in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo barbecue, please. It's so good.
I love barbecue. I love barbecue. All right, here's the can I say something here before we go on and have our what's it, who's it's in history and everything? Tom Hartman on Fridays thanks the people that help him put his show together. There's a total of individual and organizations that he thanks of 29. There's 29 individuals and organizations that he thanks for helping put his show together. Nancy, thank you once again for your help this morning.
Okay.
That's it. I got to thank people, too. 29? Hey, let's see what we got going on there. 29. Hairline history on January 30th, 1962. Two members of the Flying Willendis Highwire Act were killed when their seven-person pyramid collapsed during performance in the State Fair Coliseum in Detroit. Do you remember that? It was not good. On this date in 1649, England's King Charles I was beheaded. In 1968, the Tet Offensive began during the Vietnam War as communist forces launched surprise attacks against South Vietnamese provincial capitals. And because I was there, can I just say, and America won. Thank you. Board today, actor Gene Hackman is 82, actress Vanessa Redgrave is 75, chess grandmaster Boris Spassky is 75, former Vice President Dick Cheney is 71, singer Phil Collins is 61, and actor Christian Bale is 38. Happy birthday to them, and happy birthday to you if it is yours today.
Happy birthday to you.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047. 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Da-da-da-da. Okay, so wait, I got to be fair. I'm not being fair here about something. So, wait, I get to thank more people, okay? Jim D. I get to thank Jim D, who helps me do the movies on Friday. I get to thank Karen Veely, reporter for CalCoastNews.com, Bill Loving, the editor, Dan Blackburn, who's also the senior correspondent, and Lisa Rizzo, who's a reporter also. Lots of other stuff I don't use, but we'll throw in the intern, Josh Friedman, because we're going to throw him in. So there you go. Thanks. So I thank those. How many did that add up to? About 6, 8? Okay, so as you see, I'm climbing towards the top. Actually, let's do CalCoastNews.com. Let's do this story first because of this is huge, 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 as we well know. This is a statement by the Paso Robles Police Officers Association. We ask police officers and dispatchers, we as police officers and dispatchers, honored to serve the great citizens of Paso Robles and to do so with pride. We know the responsible citizens of Paso Robles work very hard, pay their taxes, deserve quality service from their officers. The men and women of the Paso Robles Police Officers Association strive to provide the citizens of this community the very best service possible, even under difficult conditions. As officers and dispatchers, we expect that Chief Lisa Solomon will be afforded due process in the serious allegations that have recently been reported by CalCoast News. The association membership desires a fair investigation which seeks to discover the truth. We cannot and will not discuss the issue at this time. I write this letter to publicly inform City Manager Jim App and the Paso Robles City Council that they are mandated by law to provide a safe working environment for their employees. The association members expects to be treated with respect and dignity by our administration, as is expected from us. We are very grateful for the incredible and positive support the Paso Robles Police Officers Association membership has received from our community, and we are so proudly served. All right, so that's the number one. Now, once again, the issue becomes people writing letters and stuff. Is administrative leave in the offing? Well, we think, but so far. All right, things are happening big time in Santa Maria, but let's do these in the proper order. Oh, I see. Wait a minute. They did them in a different order. Well, let's do it this way. Santa Maria police officer allegedly had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl, Chief Dan McGanney said. Police discovered the 29-year-old suspect knew he was going to be arrested for sexual misconduct with a child and intimidation of a witness. The suspect officer, I'll get all this. So here are the guys accused of having a relationship with a 17-year-old girl, this police officer. Now, let's go. I'm sorry. There was. I didn't know how to do this the way they had it. My fault. Me bad. Here we go. Please. Okay, here we go. The father of the Santa Maria police officer was shot and killed while on duty Saturday morning by fellow officers describes the shooter as his son's best friend. Officer Matt Klein, an attempt to arrest Albert Covarrubias, while Covarrubias worked at a DUI checkpoint on Broadway. Police had discovered the 29-year-old suspect knew he was going to be arrested for sexual misconduct with a child and intimidation of a witness. Covarrubias is allegedly struggled with arresting officers, drew his weapon and fired. Klein shot him once in the chest. Instead of having the son that's arrested, I have the son that's dead, said Albert Covarrubias, senior to KSBY. It doesn't make sense. In addition to a large extended family, Covarrubias also leaves behind his wife, whom he married 3 weeks ago. According to KSBY. So you can tell by the gist of this whole thing. So here's what was interesting. The part of the story that is a little bit different is the fact that normally, you know, you go to somebody's house, you arrest them after their work, but they were afraid that he had found out that he was going to be arrested, and so they went to the DUI checkpoint on Broadway in Santa Maria and something, and they attempted to arrest him right after, like at 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30 when he was getting off. And that was altercation, and he was shot. So more to follow for sure on this story out of Santa Maria. You know, the new West is very much like the old West, only more painful. All right, anything's going on. Federal and city authorities continue to send conflicting messages to those Californians looking to open marijuana dispensaries. This February, officials from the city of Oakland are expected to grant permits to 4 new pot shops, doubling the number of dispensaries in that city. The city's motivation behind granting the permits is partially finance-related. Oakland receives $60,000 in payment from each dispensary that the city grants a permit. In addition, the city receives a 5% tax on the business each year. Oakland rakes in nearly $1 million annually from marijuana dispensaries, and California as a whole makes more than 100 times that amount each year from such taxes. Some local government officials are in favor of the new shops. The reality is that if we go ahead and issue the permits and make sure that the dispensaries are managed well, we follow the rules and don't become a nuisance to their neighbors, that's in the best public interest, Oakland City Councilman Ignacio de la Fuente said to the San Francisco Chronicle. Meanwhile, federal authorities continue the cannabis crackdown, which is credited with eliminating more than 200 pot dispensaries throughout the state since fall of 2011. In November 2011, the state appeals court decided that cities and counties have the power to ban marijuana shops within their jurisdiction. The recent decisions give the state Supreme Court an opportunity to address critical issues and remain unsettled 15 years after voters made California the first state to allow medical use of marijuana under Prop 215. Despite the state's groundbreaking status, its medical marijuana program is the most tumultuous. Well, of course, because we're trying to implement it. You know, we said we should, but the federal government's saying, we don't want you to. And so it's good. That's going now. Sacramento is supposed to be looking at the one of the appellate courts is supposed to be looking at, you know, ways to get this thing off the ground so it works. And so hopefully we'll have some better answers than we've had so far. I don't know if we got to this the end of last week. I don't think we did. Let me be sure with you in case you didn't hear. Remember, Sam Blakeslee said if the redistricting proposal was approved the way it stood, he was not going to run for re-election. So he officially announced he will not seek re-election shortly after the California Supreme Court validated redistricting maps slated to give the Democrats an edge. On Friday, the High Court decided that Senate maps have drawn recently by a 14-member independent commission will be used for this year's legislative elections, even though a pending referendum challenging the maps is expected to qualify for the ballot. So you see how weird that is. See what I mean? We had the maps, we got the thing. Oh, that's insane. Anyway, the ruling greatly increased the Democrats' chance of gaining a supermajority in the state Senate, and the state Senate needed to pass tax reform and fee increases. Many opponents and proponents of the maps argue then and agree. And Many opponents and proponents of the maps agree that the new boundaries give the Democrats a good chance of gaining two new seats by unseating Blakeslee and Tony Strickland of Moorpark. Blakeslee has spent the past 15 years in public service, with 6 years in the state assembly, about 2 years in the Senate. There you go. It's all second the motion that was said to run for mayor. Run for mayor of San Luis. What the heck? All right. That's what's going on in our Calculus News update on this Monday. Thank you for joining me for that.
CalcoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
All 29 of us, thank you very much for this going on. All right, so that's what's happening with CalcoastNews.com. Yeah, Lord. Okay, they had yesterday, as you may be aware, they had the things are active. I'm going to share this with you, too. Might as well tell you. Things are going to react very slowly today for reasons that's beyond my control, but that I can see why. All right, we had the Pro Bowl. Yesterday, it resembles a fifth-grade flag football game. Okay? Nobody gets hurt. Nobody really tries too hard. Nobody does get hurt, and nobody does try too hard. Hey, anyway, so that was a. Then they had what's the awards there? We got new awards. We had the Screen Actors Guild Awards. And we got a little story on that coming up in just a few seconds.
With efficient IT solutions from Dell, Doug can shift up to 50% of his technology spend to innovation. So his company runs better, and so does Doug. Dell, the power to do more.
It's a really fun game. It's very simple. Here's what you do. You have to take a drink every time, and I mean every time, you hear the word Scorsese. At a glance.
But thank you.
I always wondered, is it Scorsese or Scorsese?
I think it's Scorsese.
It's Scorsese.
Is it Scorsese?
Like Prosecco.
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 Is it
Scorsese?
Scorsese. Yeah.
Scorsese. That's what it is.
Oh, I remember you, sweetheart.
Oh, wow, I need to work out a little more. That guy's heavy.
Thank you for taking my wine, Tina, but I have to thank our executive producer, Martin Scorsese. You can drink.
It was the late, great W.C. Fields who said, never work with kids or animals. Well, he can't kiss my...
And I believe it was the Today Show's fourth-hour co-host, Kathy Lee Gifford, who said, if drag queens love you, you'll have the longest career in the world. They know phony, and they know real.
Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God! Hey, Kristen. Oh, my God!
My God, 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 my God.
Tonight, after having the privilege of working in this business among the most creative and talented people imaginable, I, too, am happy. After all.
I just have to say that what is there but a dream? You can't trade in your dream for another dream.
Martin Scorsese. Thank you. We are so honored. We love doing this show.
And the actor goes to the cast of The Help.
Thank you.
Help won big time, and then they had we got some other stuff here. Who won? And won. Wait. Don't you can keep going. You don't have to keep going. That's all I wanted was that. Leave it alone, dude. All right, so here we have SAG Awards Honor of the Help. So here's who won last night. Actor in the motion picture, Jean Dujardin, and the artist, actress in the motion picture, Viola Davis in The Help. Supporting actor in the motion picture, Christopher Plummer's Beginners. Supporting actress in the motion picture, Octavia Spencer in The Help. Motion picture cast, The Help. Motion picture, a stunt ensemble, Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part Deuce. Actor in the movie or miniseries, which is kind of fun, Paul Giamatti, Too Big to Fail. Actress in the movie or miniseries, Kate Winslet in Mildred Pierce. Actor in the drama series, Steve Buscemi in Boardwalk Empire. Actress in a drama series, Jessica Lange, American Horror Story. Actor in a comedy series, Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock. Actress in a comedy series, Betty White, Hot in Cleveland. drama series cast, Boardwalk Empire, comedy series cast, Modern Family, television stunt ensemble, Game of Thrones, and Lifetime Achievement Award to Mary. This is probably the worst plastic surgery anybody ever had, Tyler Moore.
Okay, ready? Because there was a discussion about this the other day. I forget where I saw it. But they were saying, isn't the idea of plastic surgery that nobody notices? Is that the idea? It's if you have really good plastic surgery, people don't notice that you had really good plastic surgery. They think you're looking really good. But then you have the people that, you know, like Kenny Rogers, for instance, it looked like somebody pulled his hair back real hard and squished his face. But... Okay. Kind of like that. 26 after the hour, 12 o'clock, with Bill Benica. Nice week again this week. You know, lows in the 50s, 40s, I don't know. But otherwise, you know, we're going to have 60s today, 60s, then 70s, 76 on Thursday, if I remember. This is off the top of my head, by the way. Then back to 72 or something on Friday. Anyway, but it's going to be, it's going to spring is in the air once again. Winter to follow. You don't know when. But it's coming. I can feel it in me bones. Well, there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's just stuff. Yeah, where to start? Well, let's start with Syria because it's such bad news. You know, the Arab League observers were pulled out of Syria, so now the hell's starting to unleash again. The death toll soars as Syria cracks down on the rebels. Russia backs Assad, the last friend in the Arab world. You know, Russia does these things. Can I tell you honestly, I don't know that they really think Assad should stay in power in Syria. But they know what annoys us. You know, there's always this thing with Russia, the former Soviet Union, that says, you know, let's just keep the U.S. somewhat annoyed. You can tell it's not like they think, you know, they don't think Assad's a great guy. They don't think that country's worth a ding. That's not the point. They don't care. They want to say, okay, how can we just sort of pester the United States by, you know, causing a little bit of friction? It's their thing. They can't help themselves. It's been going on since the Bolshevik Revolution. They can't stop. And they haven't. A senior American official has for the first time admitted that a Pakistani doctor played a key role in tracking Osama bin Laden to his hideout in northern Pakistan and called for his release. It was Leon Panetta, by the way. So he's saying, well, you got this guy, and we should let him go. You should let him go. And then in Pakistan, the country's own spy agency, Inter Services Intelligence, learned of the secret task performed by the doctor who set up a fake vaccination program in Abbottabad to get a DNA sample from those staying at the compound. The CIA was never certain that bin Laden was present in the house. Afridi worked for the American Intelligence Agency in the weeks leading up to the May 2nd U.S. Navy SEALs raid, setting up an elaborate scheme that he was supposedly going house to house to vaccinate residents in Abbottabad. So anyway, but so now they've got the doctor under lock and key, and we're saying, well, you should let him go. Sure, that's going to work. Now, we say we're doing it to protect our embassy and our interests, which covers a broad spectrum of things. You know, anybody that shows the slightest interest in anything, we send up a drone. So now Iraq's angered by U.S. drones patrolling the skies. The unmanned craft are meant to protect the American embassy and consulates and stuff like that is what we're saying to them. It's really just sort of keep an eye on things and see when they're going to go to heck in a handbasket, because they will. So I am very glad we have drones in the skies over Iraq, because at some point we got to get the people in the embassy out. And it'd be better to know prior to the moment after that we should have gotten them out to know the moment before. And that's really what this is all about, in my opinion. Now, yeah, I could be wrong for the first time, but I don't think I am. I think that's all going to go to hell, and then that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be a civil war. We don't, our people stuck in the middle of it. Okay, other things going on. The Florida Highway pileup, I don't know if you saw this on TV, there was a fire, and it was causing smoke to blow across this highway. Then the fog came in on top of the smoke, and then, like, all at once, people couldn't see a darn thing. And so there was two separate pileups, and it killed at least 10 people.
And they're still, as we speak, still trying to remove some of the bodies. You know, they're having a can open to their cars and jaws of life and all that kind of stuff to get people out. Anyway, it was really, really, really a bad accident and very sad. Is there something really happy, Bill? Is there something that happy? Well, the Screen Actor Bill Award, we're happy, okay? Let me give you phone numbers in case you have something happy you want to share, because I'd appreciate it. 786-2578. That's 786-2578 and 1-866-937-1340. 1-866-937-1340. It's break time. We'll be back.
Shumash Casino Resort proudly presents Joan Rivers.
I hate old people. If you are old, get up and get out of here right now.
The hilarious comedy of Joan Rivers, live Thursday, February 9th at 8 p.m.
And when they're proud, I'm 97 years old and you smell. I hate you.
Tickets are on sale now at Club Shumash, online at ShumashCasino.com, and by phone at 1-800-585-3737.
Why, you're 93 years old. Why are you buying 18 large jars of mayonnaise? What is your problem? You're not even going to make it to the checkout counter, you old clown.
Don't miss the one and only Joan Rivers, live on stage February 9th.
Who's old here? Well, you're not a pretty group.
Only at Shumash Casino Resort.
Be careful. Don't touch that.
Be home by 10.
I'm a mother. It's my nature to protect my daughter, to want what's best for her. So when she told me she wanted to join the Guard, my gut reaction was to worry for her safety.
But I've always trusted my son and supported his decisions.
She explained to me what she'd be doing. She could protect America overseas. Or when there's a flood, tornado, or blizzard.
He'd be helping people.
Getting them out of harm's way. Providing the basics. After hearing that, I realized that's the type of young woman I raised.
So as hard as it was to imagine my son being a soldier, it was harder to imagine his future without the Guard.
The Guard will give her money for college. The Guard will train her with real-world job skills.
He's become a successful, independent young man, and I'm proud of him.
The Guard is the best opportunity for my daughter.
Your son or daughter can serve your community in the National Guard. Call 1-800-GO-GUARD and ask about the job skills they'll gain.
Sponsored by the California National Guard, paired by the California Broadcasters Association and this station.
Okay, hi everybody. Phil Sims and Chris Collinsworth for Behind the Mic. The question is, Tom Brady, if he wins this Super Bowl, this will be his fourth victory in that game. He's been to it five times, Chris. If he wins, will you declare him the best quarterback in NFL history?
Like anybody would care what I declared him as. My guy is still a little bit of Joe Montana here. You know, he did beat me twice in the Super Bowl, so I got to see him firsthand. But, yeah, I certainly think you can make the argument. You know, you could go right down the list. Peyton Manning, who won four MVPs. You know, nobody's ever done that. So that debate's going to go on and on and on. But, yeah, he wins this Super Bowl. He's certainly going to be considered by a lot of people as being the best quarterback ever.
Yeah, no question about that. The best quarterback ever, these lists, they give me headaches. I hate them.
A lot of things give you headaches, though.
Who are you going to pick? Who's the better guy, this guy? Come on. If he wins, he's going to go down as one of the best. It's always going to be an argument because it is subjective. And, you know, he's had an unbelievable career. There's no doubt about it. It looks like he's going to have a few more years to add on to those numbers. Yeah, if he wins his Super Bowl and the way the football team is and with Bill Belichick, they got a chance to probably go back to another one.
You know what's interesting, though? If he loses, now he's 0-2 against Eli.
Yeah, there you go.
Which people, you know, it's wasn't even a part of the imagination that he could be 0-2 against the New York Giants and Eli Manning. And then all of a sudden you start going, wait a minute now, what does this mean for Eli Manning's legacy? Do we got to start talking about him? Is he a Hall of Fame player or all these sorts of things? So a lot on the line.
I think that answer is yes, probably. Eli Manning wins this game. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame someday when his career is over. And you're right, a lot of things do give me headaches. And you're
I'm number
list.
One on
there
the list. Thank
so
you very much.
All right, we're ready to go.
So I need to push out an
upgrade. Wait, hey, I told you. I don't want you banging in like that. All right, so, you know, I was just kind of looking around our place here. You know, they redid the carpets outside. They did their carpets in the hallway. They painted and all that kind of stuff. You know. But these original studios, they just left with whatever it is that's growing in here. They've been here a while. What was it? They were US 98. Remember that station? Dick Mason and what was the name of the girl? Myers, some Myers, Carol Myers. So that was a long time ago. Anyhow, that's how long it's been around. Okay, other things are going on. You go back and talk to Chief Friends and Neighbors Network. There's just legacies and whatever. How long is the pregame next Sunday? Does it start like at 6 in the morning or probably about that? Okay. Yes, I'll watch it. I'll watch it. They had a strange story. Let me see. I think this was yesterday. I had the strange story. You know, this, because, you know, we have news of the weird that I don't get to sometimes, and I really feel bad about that because Chuck Shepard puts that thing together for the Ticket Magazine, and it's really cool. But I don't have that right now. But here's the thing. I might have this story here because this is like, say what? Say what? Weirder than science. Weirder than science. Here it is. Yesterday's paper. Doctors in Peru to surgically remove a parasitic twin from three-year-old boy. Imagine this kid's already 3 years old. Doctors in Peru have found a parasitic twin in the stomach of a three-year-old boy and plan to surgically remove the tissue on Monday. Dr. Carlos, whatever his name is, of the medical center, whatever it is, in the northern port of whatever that is, says the condition occurs in about one every 500,000 live births. He says the partially formed fetus weighs a pound and a half and is 9 inches long. He says the fetus was absorbed by the other fetus inside the mother's womb. He says it has some hair, eyes, and some bones. It is looking for a good foster home. So anyway, that's like an amazing story right there, in my opinion. All right, other things are going on. Other things are happening. That's as weird as anything I read over the weekend, you know, anything I've encountered for some time, so we don't have to worry about any more of that. U.S. nuclear team arrives in Iran. That's going to go nowhere. And then France expedited exit phrase, U.S.-led coalition. So France has said about Afghanistan, forget it. And we have too many guys killed. We're not staying here. We don't need to. We're not, you know, U.S., we helped you with a revolutionary war. If it hadn't been for us, you wouldn't even be here as the United States, for God's sake. So that's it. We're not helping you anymore. Yeah, you got to admit they've helped. You know, not as much in the Second World War, perhaps, but They sure helped us in the Revolutionary War, so we give them credit. They didn't help us in Vietnam because, if you recall, they had just lost, their battle with the North Vietnamese at Dien Bien Phu, and said, well, there's no sense in us starting up again with the Americans because, you know, we already had a turn at this. Yeah, it's like it's going to be probably a long time when if Afghanistan goes to heck in a handbasket, you know, whatever reason, the Russia's not going to go back there for sure. We're not going back. I doubt anybody else will want to even grab that tiger by the tail. So it's a matter of. But wait, here's the thing right here, right in front of me. I just told you this, and I didn't see this until just now. This is honest to gosh just popped up. Let me see if I can click on this and give you the scoop of what this man says. This is Iraqi VP. All right, Vice President predicts a return to sectarian violence. Vice President Tariq al-Hassami has lashed out at Iraqi Prime Minister Nur al-Maliki, predicting that Iraq could soon return to widespread sectarian violence that could require the return of U.S. forces. I don't know that we're going back. Al-Maliki is pushing my country to such a turning point with deeply sectarian dimension, the Sunni vice president told CNN on Sunday during an interview with the semi-autonomous Kurdish region in the north where he has fled so that government forces loyal to the Shiite prime minister cannot execute an arrest warrant for him on charges of running a death squad. He expressed concern that Americans will face the same problem as they faced in 2003 when a U.S.-led coalition invaded Iraq, toppling the regime of Saddam Hussein and unleashing a wave of sectarian violence. And he said he did not understand how U.S. President Barack Obama is able to characterize Iraq as free, stable, and democratic country. Well, because we don't want to say what it really is. What sort of Iraq are we talking about, he asked. How the Americans will feel proud. How the American administration is going to justify the taxpayer the billion of dollars. Now he's getting on the president's side, but said, okay, how are you going to justify this? Because, you know, the country's a mess. Through Iraq's instability may not affect this year's election campaign in the United States. It's going to affect the American interest in the region and should be very much a concern about that, al-Hashami said. The future of Iraq is grim. So there you are. It is grim. That's what I'm telling you about. It's grim. I feel bad about its grimness. I mean, everything doesn't work out like the Falkland Islands, you know. What else can we point to that was relatively simple? Grenada. I was pretty much a slam dunk. Panama, not that hard. You know, did you notice the size of these conflicts I'm talking about right here? So, you know, some of these work out pretty easy. Others are extremely hard. Yeah. And we're just part of what we're experiencing, which is kind of an interesting thing. You know, you could say, well, we go back to, and you could point to something and say, well, there was this. Now, I have to imagine, I was a baby boomer. I was born after the Second World War was just over. But you know, I'm certainly very aware of what happened. And so, you know, you can say, well, we won that one for the Kipper. And it's a darn good thing. That was everybody pulling together to say, okay, we have really, really, really got to stop this craziness. But ever since that, we've been in very muddled situations, in my opinion. All right, other things going on. There's a lot of people passing away that I don't know that well, but I guess we can try. Claire Fisher, a Grammy-winning composer who wrote scores for television and movies with the work with legendary musicians like Dizzy Gillespie, has died. He was 83. Fisher died Thursday at a Providence St. Joseph Medical Center in Burbank. An uncommonly versatile musician, Fisher worked as a composer, arranger, conductor, and pianist for more than 60 years. He is best known for his arrangements for Prince, Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney, Branford Marsalis, Raphael Sadiq, Usher, and Brandy. Nominated for a Grammy 11 times in the Best Instrument Arrangement category, Fisher won in 1986 for his album Free Fall, and 1981 for Salsa's Picante +2+2. So there you are. And then, I don't know who this person was. I can't remember. I haven't watched the movie in a long time, but I could. The Dimitri Arliss, who played a hired killer along Robert Redford and Paul Newman in the caper comedy The Sting, has died in L.A. She was 79. It's not coming to mind right away. It's not come home. Now, let me say this because I'm excited about this, and this is good news, and this is something I was happy to see. Now, we're doing our Welcome Home Troops thing here on the Central Coast, and we're doing on I'd say it's a small group basis, but it's not a pretty large group of people that get together to welcome home our troops, and especially the Freedom Riders on the motorcycle. There's 100 of those guys. Sorry, so I think we're really giving it a go, but St. Louis had a big do. They had a big downtown parade and everything. And thanked everybody, and people were crying and carrying on and stuff, and saying how great it was, and it was really nice. Fire trucks with aerial ladders hoisted huge American flags in three different places along the route, with politicians, I said to have politicians, marching bands, even the Budweiser Clydesdales joined in, but the large crowd was clearly there to salute men and women in the military, and people cheered wildly as groups of veterans walked by. That was the hope of the organizer, Craig Schneider, and Tom Applebaum. Neither man had served in the military, but came up with the idea after noticing there had been little fanfare for returning Iraqi war veterans, aside from the gatherings at airports and military bases. This is something every place should do, yet with 91,000 troops still fighting Afghanistan, many Iraqi veterans could be redeployed. So it's like, well, yeah, you're not really home, yeah. That's what I told you. Things are muddled. Things are muddled. I hear Arab League halts monitoring mission in Syria, which is why Syria is going hell in a handbasket. So it's all crazy. It's all crazy. All right. Now, it looks like in Florida, things are going crazy in their own way. You know, but Romney looks like he's ahead of Gingrich in that, and the other two, Santorum and I always like to call him. I always like to call him Ross Perot. Might as well. I think it's time for them to pack it in. Yeah, we'll see where we're going. Ron Paul. I know his name. Ron Paul. Yeah, Ron Paul. Let me see what else I got going on here. If I have anything else I'm going to share with you, that I can share right away, because there's all this stuff in the news. Let me do our headlines that are in the news, because I want to see what they're doing. Pardon murder, if I don't cover that. NGO staff sheltered by embassy in Cairo, which is important at the moment. Occupy D.C. protesters vow to stand firm. Now, we had this Occupy protest thing in Oakland with people burning the American flag. I'm confused now. I'm confused. It was like the Vietnam War when people burned the American flag, and you go, what's that? And I know everybody has the right. It's the First Amendment right of people to have freedom of expression, burn the American flag. I always thought it was the complete and ultimate act of stupidity that can be enjoyed by those of us that find offense at it, not to find offense, because here's somebody's doing something that is ultimately ironically stupid. You know, I'm burning the American flag, even though I'm in a country that gives me the right to burn the American flag. Go to another country and burn their flag and see how well it works out for you. No, seriously, give it a shot. I think I'd experiment. Be tough. It's a world gone mad. All right, other things going on. They talked about, I don't know what this is. Omega upload files may be deleted soon. Let's see what this is. Is there anything that has to do with the internet that I understand, which is almost everything? I better find out about it and see if I have any idea what they're talking about. Federal prosecutors who accuse file sharing site Mega Upload of being a hotbed of digital piracy say the site's customer files, presumably including perfectly legal ones, may be deleted starting Thursday. As I understand that hosting companies may begin deleting the contents of the services beginning as early as February 2nd, attorney Neil McBride said in a letter filed in federal court. I see this is a website. The letter submitted Friday in the Eastern District of Virginia says the government investigation has finished executing search warrants of centers where Mega Upload and Mega Video files are stored. McBride wrote that the government copied some data but didn't remove any of it. Now that the search has been finished, the government no longer has access to the services, he said. Seven people associated with the popular site were indicted earlier this month on charges that they knowingly operated an intentional organized criminal enterprise allowing worldwide sharing of illegally pirated movies, music, and other media. Lawyers for Mega Upload, which is based in Hong Kong, have denied the charges. It's not hard to prove, you know.
pretty easy to prove. It's pretty easy to prove. You remember what happened with Napster? They decided, let's take the least of these, my children, and pounce on them and make that person an example. And say, this is, we're not kidding around. This is what's going to happen to everybody. Everybody's illegally pirating music and going all that kind of stuff. So they took a 10-year-old girl. Was she 10? I think she was 10. Maybe she was older. It was a teenage girl. And they said, okay, we're going to fine you, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it was like, oh, my God. And so then everybody got nervous, and Napster said, maybe we should do this service a different way. They were saying that they didn't. What had nothing to do with them. They just had a site, and if people uploaded a song and then somebody else downloaded the song, they had nothing to do with it. The federal government convinced them, well, no, that's not really the case, because without the site, that's not going to happen. And it's your site. But here's the thing that people were kind of stupid. Can I share this a little bit with you, with this piracy stuff that this is what I gathered when I saw this going on back when. What I understood was that people would keep all these two things. They do two things that were really dumb. They would keep all the files that they had downloaded on their little site, the personal site, music playlist, whatever you want to call it, for Napster. Well, that was easy then to go into Napster and say, okay, what does this person have? And let's see if we can find out how many they bought, because there's always a record of something you bought. And at that time, nobody was buying anything on Napster. So that it was like, okay, well, how could you get this stuff? The other thing that made it was even dumber was there's people that would say, okay, I'll share my playlist with anybody that wants to be involved in it. So now if you did that, then you became personally responsible for criminal activity because you were allowing people to upload music from your list and download it to their site and you hadn't obtained it legally. So you would think that people would say, I don't want to do that, but they apparently were they weren't smart. Is really what you have to say. Not smart is the best I can offer you. That's all I'm telling you right there. All right, let's see what else is going on here. Let's see what other news we have. Oh, man, is this the truth? I don't live really close to a creek, which makes this even more significant. I mean, I don't know how many yards away it is, but it's a ways, half a mile maybe. Maybe not quite that far. Anyway, tree frogs who blast the county with their creaking. Ooh, man. The rain had brought them out there, you know what I mean? They came out and they said, we got to do some mating here. Oh, my God. Well, you can't even hear yourself think. How could you hear yourself mate? Right, but anyway, they're out there. Man, are they loud. Oh, are they loud. Holy cow. All right, other things are going on. Other people that are in the news, other things that are going on. Dan Krieger from Times Past, the Tuskegee Airmen proud bravery, but they still suffered prejudice. You think? You think? It wasn't until Martin Luther King Jr. that people started to realize a little bit of equal rights. That was certainly not during the Second World War. And even those were dicey. And today, I'm not sure we completely made it right. All right, here's another person that died. The voice of the robot of Lost in Space, the 1960s TV series, died. Right there. This is how they described it. He did other things like Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea and commercials for products like Mr. Bubble Bubble Bath, Gallo Wine, but who is best known for his electronic intonations as the robot in the loopy science fiction series Lost in Space. Can I be honest with you? I always looked at Star Trek as kind of loopy too. I never was quite fascinated by it. I tried. I turned it in. People were doing Nanu Nanu or whatever the thing was you do with your fingers. I didn't get it. And then here's ex-Boston mayor who led city during days of racial strife dies, and that's right here is Kevin White. So he's not. Is there anybody left? Is there anybody left? Is there any of us left to do anything? Okay. And here's another one of these weird science things that has to do with global warming, you have to would assume, is the snowy owls are soaring in a rare migration. From coast to coast across the northern United States, a striking number of snowy owls have been swooping onto shorelines and flying over fields this winter, delighting bird watchers and stirring speculation about the cause of the spike. What do we think that it is? Okay, fine. The white 2-foot-tall birds, which live in the Arctic the rest of the year, are known to fly south in large numbers every few winters in what is known as an eruption. But this year, the numbers are unusually high, said Denver Holt, director of the Eruption Research Institute at Charlotte, actually the Owl Research. There's so many across the country, everywhere, by the thousands. It's unbelievable. Have you seen any of these little white guys? I haven't seen any myself, but okay, that's fine. The owl's Arctic diet is 90% lemmings, although the birds, which are powerful hunters, also eat mice, voles, ducks, hares, and even fish when they migrate south. Some ornithologists speculate that lemming populations crashed recently after a boom, which could have led the push south, because they ran out of lemmings. And their favorite is lemmings. They're the best. The eruption started in last fall and is expected to end by March or April. There's far more data on the scope of this migration than in years past, thanks to a citizen science project based at Cornell called eBird, which is run by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and the Audubon Society. Bird watchers called the country call in sightings, which are plotted on a map. A lot of people who have never seen one before have rushed out and seen multiples. That's exciting. All right, we got this other place. Island birds get a mating boost with a love shack designed by a team of scientists and artists, the California Galapagos, they're saying. And so they're saying on Ananueve State Reserve, there's all these little bird pelicans, whatnot, cormorants, all these guys. Well, what they've done is they've designed little places for them to go and have privacy. It's unnecessary if you're a teenager, but, you know, as you get older, you think that maybe that's important when you're having sex. So they hopefully the birds are happy with that. I think that's what we need to do is make the birds happy. I like this environment section they do on Sunday. It's kind of a hoot. Oh, the wheat. No. Remember I said I saw the thing on China and they were eating jackass stew or whatever it was called? A new taste for eating elephant meat, everything from trunks to sex organs, has emerged in Thailand and could pose a new threat to the survival of the species. Now, these people in Thailand, I don't know where they get these ideas about eating funny parts and thinking it's going to help them out. You know what I'm saying? Wildlife officials told the Associated Press that they were alerted to the practice after finding two elephants slaughtered last month in a national park in western Thailand. Thailand has fewer than 3,000 wild elephants and about 4,000 domesticated ones. You can bet if they start hacking and whacking on these guys, it's not going to be good for them. Somebody has to spread a rumor. The government has to spread a rumor that says, you know, if you eat elephant parts, you know, and you think that it's going to enhance your sex life and everything, then your thingy will fall off. And then make people believe it. That's what they got to do. So other things don't work. There's a lot of the Asian countries, they believe that this, you eat this, it's good. This does this to you, this does this to you. Maybe it does. I have no idea. How will I know? I don't know any of these things. See what my wife serves me tonight. Okay. Yeah, things are going on in our life. Crazy stuff. Leonard Pitt's column said, for worse or for worse, guns really was talking about, he was talking about Gabby Giffords. I'm never going to convince anybody. I wish I could. I wish I could explain this and have people understand and this whole gun thing. He said, one of the things he said we need to do is we need to ban fully automatic weapons from private use. The hunter who needs a gun that fires hundreds of rounds a minute isn't much of a hunter. No, he's a soldier. Because except for rare exceptions, private citizens are not allowed to have automatic weapons. And I grow weary of the fact that people don't seem to understand that. They're not allowed. You're not allowed to have them. You can't buy them. You can't possess them. You're not going to find one anyway, chances are. And so but I understand how people fret over, you know, the fact that people are being killed by people with guns. We are going to do CBS News here at 1 o'clock. KYN.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. When you're way up in the latest public opinion polls and the Florida primary is tomorrow and your name is Mitt Romney.
This sure is fun. What a day this is. I'll tell you, with a turnout like this, I'm beginning to feel we might win tomorrow. What do you think?
He was in Jacksonville. Newt Gingrich trying to make up a lot of ground in a great big hurry.
We nominated a moderate in 1996 and he lost. We nominated a moderate in 2008 and he lost. Mitt Romney's more liberal than either of those candidates.
The GOP primary in Florida awards all 50 of the state's convention delegates to the winner. After ignoring a proposal for years, a CBS News 60 Minutes investigative piece changed the dynamic. When people learned it was legal for members of Congress and the Senate to trade on inside information, and Congress fairly describes inside tracks on any number of issues and industries. Now the Stock Act is evidently headed for passage.
It will end any confusion over whether members of Congress can be prosecuted for this serious crime. They can be.
That's Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Iraqi officials are protesting, saying the U.S. should not be flying drones in their airspace now that the U.S. military is out of there. State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland says they're just there to keep watch over American diplomats.
These are tiny little things. They are not armed.
So she says they should not be arguing about them. Egyptian officials are investigating foreign funding, including U.S. funding, of pro-democracy groups, and they have denied exit visas to several Americans who wanted to leave Egypt.
Some of the Americans have sought refuge at the U.S. Embassy. State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland says they were invited to stay.
The handful of U.S. citizens have opted to stay on the embassy compound in Cairo while awaiting permission to depart Egypt.
And she insists they've cooperated with Egyptian authorities.
There's no effort to circumvent any laws here.
But the U.S. has repeatedly asked the Egyptians to release the pro-democracy advocates, and $1 billion in U.S. aid could be at stake. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Washington.
In Afghanistan, police in Kunduz province say a man strangled his wife to death when she gave birth to a baby girl instead of a boy. He ran away, and they've not yet caught him. The man's mother is in jail for allegedly helping her son. The paperclip dentist in Massachusetts goes to prison for a year for using pieces of paperclips as root canal posts.
He worked on all my kids. He screwed up all my kids' teeth. All three.
That's Brenda Almeida, upset mom in Fall River. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 6.5 points. NASDAQ lost 4.5 in oil at $98.88 a barrel. John Rich has died. He was the director of one of America's favorite television shows.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Rich won an Emmy for All in the Family. He also won an Emmy for his work on The Dick Van Dyke Show. John Rich was 86. This is CBS News.
One size does not fit all, especially when you're talking about something as important as your mortgage. Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. That's right, the Yorgage. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. Let's say you've got 8 years left on your mortgage and you want to refinance to a lower interest rate. Our 8-year fixed Yorgage can help. We keep your term short and we lower your monthly payment. The rate today in an 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. So give Quicken Loans a call today at 866-QUICKEN. That's 866-QUICKEN. Or go to quickenloans.com. The Quicken Loans Yorgage. Everything we do is engineered to amaze.
Individual results may vary. Call for additional cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Whatever mommy puts into her system goes into the unborn baby's developing systems, too.
Researchers are reporting what they call an alarming increase in the number of babies who've been exposed to the heroin and other narcotics their mothers use. That includes doctor-prescribed pain-killing drugs.
Between 1995 and 2008, the number of babies coded as having withdrawal has increased by about 57%.
Dr. John Hudak, the Florida researcher who led the study, says expecting mothers have to be educated to know how much damage drug abuse can do to a developing child. Frank Setapani, CBS News.
Pottstown Middle School in Pennsylvania is banning Uggs and other popular open-top fuzzy boots. They are good boots and they're very popular, but they also have been used increasingly to stash cell phones, which is a violation of the school rules there, designed to encourage students to focus on their schoolwork instead. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
One thing I've learned on my journey to help save people money on car insurance is that folks across the country like convenience. And what could be more convenient than visiting GEICO.com, where you can manage your policy, pay your bill online, just about anything you need. And it's open 24/7. It's kind of like popping into the ultimate convenience store, except we save people money. And we don't have beef jerky.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
This is Talk is Cheap, the Friends and Neighbors Network, with Bill Benica.
I know that when you hear the name Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, you immediately think of great flushing Toto toilets. Or maybe it's our state-of-the-art Growy kitchen and bath faucets. Or maybe it's those tiny massaging bubbles of a Jason Comfort Air Bath. But here's something you may not know. We have the most fabulous line of cabinet and door hardware on the Central Coast. Knobs and pulls created for whatever look you desire. Rustic, modern, craftsman, Asian, in durable, long-lasting finishes like Venetian bronze, brushed nickel, distressed copper, or even cloisonne. The choices are endless, the quality superb. You'll find that Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the county's widest selection of bathroom vanity cabinets in all types of designs. Roomy linen storage cabinets, beveled mirror medicine cabinets, and handcrafted wall mirrors. That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs, with a wide selection to choose from. They also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
Did you know that MRI technology changes as rapidly as computers or cell phones? San Luis Diagnostic Center is dedicated to providing state-of-the-art medical technology, so patients on the Central Coast have the best medical care available. That's why they just replaced their MRI scanner with a Siemens Skyra, the new gold standard in MR imaging. This 3 Tesla MRI is the only one of its kind in California, and there are only 2 others in the United States. This system has 8 times the resolution of other MRIs, giving your doctor the most accurate high-resolution images in history. Plus, it's 5 times faster, getting you in and out as quickly as possible. It's also the most open MRI in existence and virtually eliminates claustrophobia. You have a choice when it comes to where you get an MRI. Tell your doctor you want the best MRI technology available. Choose the fastest, most advanced MRI made only at San Luis Diagnostic Center.
Oh, only there at San Luis Diagnostic Center, at the corner of Santa Rosa and Monterey. That's a nice building right there, and across from the gas station. And you go in there, and the people are very nice, and they're just really swell, and you get to be seen right away when you go in, and just everything's going to go right for you when you go to San Luis Diagnostic. And Dr. Fred Vernacki, what a nice man he is. We got some good folks in the community, by gosh. I want to share a thing with you. Let me first say, I'm Bill Benica. This is Talk is Cheap, your Friends and Neighbors Network. Thanks very much for sharing this day with me. I have numbers 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340 in case you want to call and have something to share. And because you share with me and you're being kind enough, I want to share something back to with you. So we have to start though with a pregnant pause. Okay. That way, then we have to have a mood for this. I should have a little background music or something. Here we go. To realize the value of a sister or brother, ask someone who doesn't have one. To realize the value of 10 years, ask a newly divorced couple. To realize the value of 4 years, ask a graduate. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who has failed a final exam. To realize the value of 9 months, ask a mother who has given birth to a stillborn. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who has given birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask an editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who has missed a train, a bus, or a plane. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who survived an accident. To realize the value of a friend or family member, lose one. Time waits for no one. Treasure every moment you have. You will treasure it even more when you can share it with someone special.
Talk is cheap.
I'm talking cheap. Oh, I was going to play this for you right next. I was just going to go right from that into this, and all of a sudden I started talking, and I didn't mean to, so this goes where we're going.
And see Katie before she goes home.
With integrated healthcare solutions from Dell, every file is where Dr. Ling needs it. Now she can spend more time with patients and less time on paperwork. Dell, the power to do more.
All righty, parents, I want to ask you a question. Would you buy a $2,900 coat for your child? What about a jacket that costs $3,800 or a dress, say, for $1,500? Yes, for your child. I know despite a tough economy, some parents are shelling out big bucks on a growing trend. And as we get into this, let me just say, look, it's your money. You can spend it however you want. Nobody, you know, really can criticize it for that. Big name designers like Gucci, Prada, Burberry, Versace, Dior, Lanvin Paris are creating these boutiques and fashion lines just for kids 12 and under. It has sparked a lot of people to ask, though, how much is too much? Because there seems to be a growing backlash from some parents. Well, school psychologist Rachel Shanefield is here to talk to us about this. So before we get started, we did want to show a couple of these pieces, I believe, so you all can see what we're talking about here. First of all, we have a Lanvin trench. See it there? Very cute. That looks like something that an adult would wear, doesn't it?
It does.
$1,645. Let's go to the Gucci dress.
We don't care what it looks like. This is the price.
Oh, no, that is cute.
Oh, that's cute.
It's $1,495.
That's $1,495.
And then Burberry coat.
Holy crap.
There we go. In here.
Raincoat.
Look at him. $525.
I have had enough of that story. All right, so anyway, people are doing crazy things, you know, with their children. I know we did. I know our parents didn't do stuff as quite as crazy as they did. But then we're talking about the people that are spending a lot of money on their kids and doing really strange or weird science with their kids because of money. Now, let me mention something here, because this is really important, I think. Giving teens the tools for handling their money. And even before teenage years, I think it would be important. When you were a kid, did you know anything about money? Did you have the faith? We didn't have much. But I'm not complaining. Because you knew you didn't have much. You knew that whenever you said to Mom, could I have this? And she'd go, no, we can't afford that. Go, okay, well, then apparently we can't afford that. You didn't even know what I can't afford that means. You just knew you weren't going to get it. Okay. You sometimes wanted something and everything and wish you had it, but that was kind of it, you know, because you went to your friend's house and you say, you got any of this good stuff like this? And they go, no, we can't afford that. Oh, okay, well, then who can afford it, for God's sake? Who's buying this stuff? We did. We wondered, well, who buys this stuff? Anyhow, well, that's how we were. You know, you got to Gucci, snoochy things here for $1,500, you know. We were happy. If we had even a slightly sort of within the last 3 years pair of kids and your brother's hand-me-downs, you were doing fine. You didn't care. Because the guy next to you had the same thing. It was just like that's the way life was. It's like, you know, you hear people that complain a lot about, and I'm not talking about being and not having food and a place to live and that kind of thing, because I had that. So, I mean, I had three squares a day and, you know, a place to live and sleep comfortably and, you know, be housed and all that, you know. But, you know, the extra stuff. Like a lot of people, we didn't have any money for extra stuff. And that's okay. But here's the thing. Young people don't know anything about money. They don't have any concept of money. And parents, our parents are the generation that was the children of the Depression era people. Those people, growing up, the money obviously was never talked about. So then you get to my generation, the baby boomers, and our parents just didn't talk about money. I didn't know anybody when I was that age. I didn't know anybody when I was young who had the faintest notion what their father made. Let's say. And then how it was divided up. You know, okay, here's where we make this much money. This has to go for the house. This goes for the car. This goes for, you know, you guys, food. There's a majority of it. Then this goes for whatever. But we had no notion of that. And I think it's important that, you know, people teach kids about money. And not be all like, well, I don't tell them this. I don't tell them that. Tell them. They need to know. They have to understand. Otherwise, they're not going to understand. They're going to grow up, they're going to find out the hard way as they start to earn their own money and say, you know, this isn't going that far. Of course, I'm only making 50 cents an hour, but, you know, then they begin to realize, you know, this stuff is, it's tough. I think it's important. I really do. I just thought, sure, that would, I think, because it was sitting here looking me in the eye, and I thought, you know, good point. Now, here's the other thing that's in the paper over the weekend. Here's wise words. Local notables share some of their advice that helped enlighten their lives or change their callings. And you know who's the first one? Jim D. from the Palm Theater. Here's what he said. My father told me when I was very young, with regard to whatever career I chose, do what you love to do and be the boss. My father came to the United States from Sicily as a young boy, graduated from New York School of Music, and had a studio at Carnegie Hall, and yes, was his own boss as a musician, music teacher, real estate agent, and insurance salesman. He is also a World War II vet. Perhaps my story regarding that advice is, by all means, if you can do what you love to do, because there will be some days when even when you love to do it becomes old and tiresome. I love Jim D. He's hedging his bet on this answer there. Huh? I'm sure my father had some very good advice for me that I didn't follow. So I can't remember what it was because I wasn't paying attention. So I have a number of different people in here, you know, and they ask people, you know, what did the people tell you? My father did teach me something that I always took to heart. And that was my older brother paid no attention to this. I sometimes didn't, but that we were big on the golden rule. You know, you do others, you have them do unto you. So that he tried very hard, my mother, for sure, best way. They tried desperately to get us to grasp that notion, you know, because we were always beating up on each other. But and it sort of worked. But here's something my father taught me that I thought was interesting. He said, "Let's say someone asks you to do something. Who's your boss that you think is unfair? Do it first, and do it as well as you can possibly do it, and then go and tell the person why you think it's unfair." Now, I thought that was sage advice. You know, I understood what the concept was and all that stuff. But then, after you'd done it, and then you went to an adult and said, you know, I didn't think this was fair, they go, well, you did it, didn't you? So I'm not sure how good advice that was, you know, but I can see my father was trying to, you know, maintain some character and integrity in a person. Okay. So I spent 4 years in the Navy. 4 years I spent with somebody saying, here, do this. And I'm going, I don't really want to do this, but I'll go ahead and do it. And then, but there was no point then saying, you know, I didn't really think that was so good. They didn't care. They really didn't care. Tough. Then the paper had all kinds of yummy things to have at the Super Bowl parties and all that, and what you're going to have. And they always tell you not to eat too much and gain too much weight and don't drink too much because I'd gain weight with that. Super Bowl Sunday is the one. This is like the old Roman orgies, you know, and feasts. You know, that's what Super Bowl Sunday is to Americans. You know, this is when you just don't care. You know, you eat, and eat, and you say, this is the day that I'm eating, having a good time and eating. I don't know why we're compelled to eat and watch football at the same time. It's like one of the movies. You always want to have popcorn when you go to the movies. It becomes a Pavlovian thing. So I guess that's why I'm on Super Bowl Sunday. I don't take any advice or give any on Super Bowl Sunday. Zero, zilch, none. Have a good time. You should be having enough fun on Super Bowl Sunday you're not even watching the game. That's what I wish for you, that you're having so much fun in the company of others that you're, you don't care about the games. Yeah, whatever. Okay? You're having a good time. That's my opinion right there. I'm sticking with it. I made tributes for Joe Paterno, and so many people feel so bad, of course, about how that's going. Tiger Woods fell to third place in his tournament. I know people give their eye teeth to be in third place, but that's it right there. Lots of talk about Peyton Manning maybe moving on. Ogosinko has been the forgotten man of England. He's on the field for one play in the Patriots' first two playoff games. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on. Mustangs won at UC Davis with a three-pointer to give Cowboys first lead with 2:10 remaining. We got to honor that. Can we honor that? Do you mind if I honor it? Okay. The Mustangs have been doing good at a number of things. And so we need to tell them. And I saw for the first time, I saw a soccer ad today for the Cal Poly Mustangs. So, you know, you can go to a soccer game, whatnot. So that was pretty good. There's no way. You have to understand how small this little computer I have is. It has the commercials on it. I mean, you can't, a normal person with 20/20 vision or 20/20 corrected cannot even read this thing. fight. We have a good fight song with Mustangs. I like it a lot. Okay, let me see. There's big universities, you know, on Northwestern, on Wisconsin. What is it? Yeah, you think they're good? Ours is really good. I like it a lot. Hey, there's another thing I was going to tell you about real quick. It was in here. I thought it was in the section right here. It's about tacos and sticky waffle irons. I thought there was something else in here I wanted to tell you about. All right, nothing. That's all right. I can be wrong again. All right, so we had the handling money thing, which I thought was important. There's another thing they had in the business section of the paper this weekend that I thought was also very interesting. Credit scores. You get to a point where they're basically saying this. Well, here's a paragraph that says it in bigger print. If you're at 780 plus, it's all bragging rights from there. So here's what they're saying, and without going through one of these tall tales that they have to tell you, Associated Press has to. This is Bloomberg News. Well, the current state of journalism in some major publications, without spinning these long yarns before they get to the point. Let me get to the point. 3 years after the credit crisis, when lenders are abruptly closed charge accounts and cut limits, consumers, including those who have excellent scores, have become more focused on getting the number above 800. Those efforts may be futile because once consumers have FICO credit scores of 760 or higher, it doesn't mean they'll get better interest rates on mortgages and credit cards or even elite card offers. There's very little incremental benefit to gain a score above this 780, 760. Once consumers above 7, it's a lot more difficult to move the score up anyway, and there's little reward for it. But if your FICO score is, 210 or something, you might want to work on it.
You don't have to.
You might want to work on it. And these people have some formula that's stranger than the Veterans Administration, let me tell you. Stranger than the Veterans Administration. And so... which is the strangest thing you've ever could possibly imagine. But there's no way to understand, like I said. It's like they want you to have a certain amount of available credit so that the credit that you are using is a small percentage of what you could possibly use. But there's this magic number at some point. They don't want you to have too much credit because then they figure, you could get yourself in trouble. Are you serious? When you have that credit thing they think is good, where you have the right credit here, and then, you have this. It doesn't make any sense at all. I don't get it. If you said, okay, I'm going to go out and put all the credit that I have and charge it all today, you couldn't pay it off for the rest of your great-grandchildren's lives. So I don't get how they do it exactly. So. For instance, I refinanced my home mortgage when the interest rates went down. Why wouldn't I? So I refinanced the home mortgage, and then they said you want to have a credit line. I don't need a credit line. I have two credit cards, a regular credit card and American Express, and I use those sparingly anyway, which maybe that's a problem. Maybe I need to use more. I don't know. Anyway, but I said, no, I don't need a home equity line. So my credit score actually went down. Because I didn't have more money to spend credit. I'm still above 800, thank you. But it didn't go down. It didn't go down, so I didn't understand that. Fine. These people just push you around. You don't know why they're pushing around or how. You can't possibly know. And you don't need. I guess it's what you don't know can't hurt you. Is that their philosophy?
Hey, Central Coast, it's Jamie from the Otter Out Cafe in beautiful Morro Bay, serving breakfast, lunch, dinner, with live entertainment on the waterfront. Don't forget, we close on Tuesday for winter, karaoke every Wednesday night at 8 p.m., open jam Thursday nights, Friday through Sunday, fun local bands, and Monday night at 6, Spike plays his acoustic guitar till 9 p.m. A little bit of everything here at the Otter Rock Cafe. Are you looking for a fun place to watch the Super Bowl? Well, Otter Rock will be serving $10 barbecue plates, including ribs, chicken, sausage, Asian coleslaw, pasta salad, and a draft beer. Killer drink specials and games with prizes during halftime. Join in on the festivities if you're passing through February 5th, Super Bowl Sunday. So don't be snooty and shake your booty on down Harbor Street in the heart of the Embarcadero. Have you discovered the Otter Rock Cafe yet?
This is your Consumer Energy Minute. Turn on the light to energy efficiency just by paying attention to the kind of light bulb you use without losing comfort and security. Switching from incandescent to incandescent halogen or compact fluorescent is the first step. Common sense and turning off unneeded lights will always work. Appointing a family member to be in charge of turning off the lights is a good team approach, and rotate the duties so everybody builds awareness. Lighting controls such as dimmers and photosensitive controls allow you to reduce wattage and react to available light. With the consumer lighting options available today, a little planning and being an educated consumer can help you save money. Learn more at our website at AmericanLightingASSOC.com. That's www.AmericanLightingASSOC.com. A public service of this station and the American Lighting Association.
Looking out my window, you were gone.
With efficient IT solutions from Dell, Doug can shift up to 50% of his technology spend to innovation. So his company runs better, and so does Doug. Dell, the power to do more.
No, he's taking a posting as he's an RAF Search Rescue co-pilot. He's taking a posting to the Falklands, which is fairly standard. They do go through this, and he wants to become a pilot, fully qualified one, so it's going to work towards that. But this isn't any other ordinary serviceman. This is the future king of England, and the Falklands, there was a war there, of course, nearly 30 years ago. We're going up to the anniversary, and it's become a big diplomatic dispute again in light of the anniversary between Argentina and Britain, who were fighting over the islands 30 years ago. Now, Britain says the sovereignty of those islands is non-negotiable. Argentina says these islands are called Las Malvinas, and they are part of our territory, and they want to negotiate on this, but the British Prime Minister making very clear no negotiations on the islands, and actually there won't be any change in future sovereignty unless the Falklanders decide that, and they're all mainly British, so that's not really going to work that way. So the debate is whether or not there should be negotiations. Britain's saying there won't be. When this was announced about Prince William going over there, Kira, Argentina called it a provocative act, so lots of very sensitive language. And a former senior military man in Britain said over the weekend if there was another war, Britain wouldn't be able to fight it.
Right, that's provocative stuff right there. I guess they would, though. Here's Bill, talking to you, Friends and Neighbors Network. So here you go. Prince William's going to go over there, and he's going to the Falklands, like his brother before him. And so that's kind of standard stuff. And so Argentina still wants to have Britain say, well, you can have them, because they call them the Malvinas, because they want to have a Spanish word for them. And so, but the Falklands are actually the Falklands, and they're mostly inhabited by British citizens, and they're considered sovereign to the British government. So the question, if you ask me, is if it happened again, if there was another conflict like we had 30 years ago in the Falklands, would Britain send its ships and whatnot over there? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you remember the weird thing that happened in that war? It was a strange thing. A British frigate, the USS, the HMS Sheffield, was hit with a missile, and serious loss of life and injury. And but here's the reason it was hit with the missile. The missile was French. The Argentinians had bought a French missile from France. You know how we sell stuff to everybody and go, ah, what the heck? Yeah, we can use the money. We'll sell it to USA. You see, then all of a sudden you find out you're in trouble that you've done this. So while the U.S. was not involved in any way whatsoever in this war whatsoever, just observing from the outside. So what happened was France sold the Argentinians this anti-ship missile surface to surface. And so they shot it at the HMS Sheffield, and they hit it. Now, they might not have hit it had the fact that the HMS Sheffield's radar said, this is an incoming enemy missile. But it didn't say that. The computer said, don't worry about this missile. It's a friendly. It's a missile from France because they're allies. Whoops. Whoops. So, got to think ahead of the game, you know what I'm saying? Got to think ahead of the game. Let's talk about other things that are going on in our world. You know, there's three people from San Luis Obispo down in Bell, California, trying to show them, you know, how to do things right. And luckily, you know, because you never know from one moment to the next how your city's going to do. But former San Luis Obispo City Manager Ken Hampion, former Finance Director Bill Statler, and current Planning Commissioner Michael Almoltari have volunteered their time by assisting the city near L.A. after the shocking scandal that, you know, upset everybody in the room. Then, unplanned bus stop. Stop. Jerry Brown cut funds for the rest of the year, an action called catastrophic on school transportation money. And so this is the thing there. And so here you have the school bus from Death Valley High School to Timbisha Shoshone Tribe Reservation in Furnace Creek. Round trip takes 120 miles and 2 hours every school day for nine students. Holy dump truck. Holy cow. Well, I guess they're not going to school. Yeah, that's kind of really weird. Atascadero Unified School District also deals with lengthy home-to-school trips. Some students living in the remote California Valley must catch the bus as early as 5:30 in the morning before traveling about 50 miles with stops at various intervals to arrive at Atascadero High School nearly 2 hours later. Those continuing on to Santa Rosa Academic Academy in Atascadero must tack an extra 40 minutes onto that travel time. That the students face an equally long commute home. So this, you're talking about 4 hours commuting to go to school. I only had to walk like three blocks. Like if it was, had been one more block than that, I never would have gone. I never would have shown up. Okay, so when Governor Jerry Brown announced that lagging state revenue would require eliminating all school transportation funding for the rest of the fiscal year, it hit the tiny school district harder than just about any other in California. Death Valley is the term of Death Valley. So that's what's just absurd. It's insane. So what do you do now? You can't demand that parents drive kids to school if they don't have the means to do so. There's something not right with the whole thing. Yeah, things are just all screwed. Oh, by the way, at the box office over the weekend, Wolves, the Gray, did $20 million, which is really poop, but which did better than anybody else. Underworld Awakening did $12.5 million, and One for the Money, $11 million. Red Tails, $10 million. Man on the Ledge, $8 million. It's getting worse as we go, as you can imagine. Haywire did $4 million. It's the bottom of the 10. Hey, other things that are going on. Anything that happened. I thought we'd get this. Eventually, we need to get some letters and stuff and see what people are angry about and what they're angry and mad about and mad and angry both about that. Because we always have that, you know. We always have people that are not content with life. Streets not dog safe. This was according to Linda from Los Osos. Remember the story that Bill Morm had in this thing about the two dogs were off leash to attack the little guy that was on leash, and a woman had a bill of $1,900 for the vet. She says she was walking one time on the. She said, "Well, I'm going to walk on the streets from now on, not paths. I'm just going to walk on the street." And this lady says she was walking on the street, and two big dogs attacked her dog and ate it. You know, so it doesn't even the streets are not safe for dogs being walked, and no one is safe from irresponsible dog owners. Which is true. I mean, it's true. You know, if you have somebody that's here's an interesting thing I observed. You know, because when I used to be able to walk around a lot. And you go through parks and whatnot, and people, I guess people felt like if they had a leash in their hand, that somehow was compliant with the law, that that was good enough, you know. Not so. You know, because by the time the thing's bit me on the butt and you get to me and try to get it off, I'm not happy. You know, if it had on the leash to begin with, hopefully you would have been able to hold it back. I don't know. There's things that it's kind of like, you know, the whole pets and zoos and the leashes and all that stuff all come into play at one time, I think, sometimes. And as a human of the human species, the top of the food chain, all that, there's a lot I don't understand. I really don't understand. Because everybody acknowledges that dogs love to run. They love to be on the surf if you take them down to the ocean and stuff. You know, some like to swim and whatnot. And they love to do all these things, but you can only do them every now and then with the dogs. Right? And you can take them to a dog park or whatever. But you know their companionship, wanna? Things you get, like Bullet was a stuffed dog. You have a stuffed dog, and then you have a little remote control with a propeller at its rear end, you know. And so if you want to swim, you just throw it in the lake, you know. You take it out, you throw it in the lake, and it swims, kind of. Trying to help the dogs. I really am. Don Ider wrote a letter saying, "Hey, folks, we love you, and we're doing the best we can, and God love them. I'm sure most of you know we have decided to consolidate our Atascadero Appliance Outlet Center and our Appliance Service Center into our Paso Robles North Templeton store. This decision was made by myself and my management team when we were notified by two members of our management team, a husband and wife, that they would be moving. To avoid replacing them, we decided to consolidate the two operations into one. This was an agonizing decision, to say the least. Janice, his wife, and he moved to Atascadero back in 1975. We were born and raised in San Luis Obispo. Our children who grew up in Atascadero have always been committed to supporting this community and will never stop. I assure you, I have over 60 families counting on me to make good decisions and I feel this is a sound one. We at Idlers have to compete toe-to-toe with giants like Lowe's, Home Depot, Sears, Best Buy, etc. We must remain competitive to survive. But I told my chamber team I am all in for a task there anyway. I'm able. I have contacted the State Board of Equalization, and they have assured me I can report all taxable sales to a Pataskaneo residence to keep the sales tax generated in our city. He's going out of his way to do that. I mean, you have to understand, he doesn't have to do that. He can say it was sold elsewhere. You know, but he's trying to say, okay, I'm trying to do the best I can. But notice the thing, the most important thing he said is that Don Idler supports 60, you know, he's like 60 employees. That's a bunch. And he's trying to hang in there with the way things are going on. I'm going to be a little cagey here. I'm going to be a little cagey when I read this to you. Well, Miss KCOY folks, Sharon and Jerry from Santa Maria say, we join many others in regretting the loss of the local news anchors, and especially Weatherman Jim Byrne. Jim was very involved in the local community. He participated in many local charity events, such as the Elks Rodeo Flower Festival and food bank drives. He volunteered his time to give talks to local school children and organizations. We'll miss his cheery voice and sunny smile. Santa Maria is losing a great asset. As I said on the plaque on my bicycle rack by the library, to the broadcasters of the Central Coast who have always done so much for so little, the usual. Anyway, KCOY will be losing a lot of viewers, and the viewers will go to the advertisers. We're not sure how long station will survive without the local touch. Hopefully the station owners will come to their senses and return to a local news and sports format. Cleanest news doesn't interest us very much. And they won't. And, you know, here's the sad part about all of this. You know, it's the old bootstrap thing about, you know, everybody's trying to survive, and how do you survive? You know? But little birdies tell me that somebody at KCOY who's been there, or KCOY, KSBY, who's been there for many, many years, is also not there as of today. But we'll wait till it's announced. I was asked. Yeah, the people in the news. Got pipeline stuff going on, you know, because we got the pipeline. We've been saying no to the pipeline. Yes, but it was two interesting articles I had. You know, the people that say, you know, the pipeline thing from Canada, here's the dangers and the problems it presents, and especially because it goes across a huge aquifer up in the northern part of the country. And so, you know, if there was a spill, it would really, really be a problem. And so I think this was Andrew Christie that said it from the Sierra Club. I think it was him who said there was lots of time to, you know, evaluate this thing and reroute it. You know, it's not the pipeline itself, because somebody else wrote an article about the pipeline in Alaska from Prudhoe Bay, there was no roads involved. They actually laid the pipeline in such a way that they didn't have to build a road next to it, because they say that having a road next to it causes its own problems as far as wildlife and all that kind of stuff. Well, they must have recognized that, you know, back when they did the Prudhoe Bay pipeline, because the Alaska pipeline, because they didn't have a road right next to it. They rode down the pipe they laid and then, you know, did that. So, obviously it could be done the same way, you know, this pipeline from Canada. Anyway, it needs more work is what we're basically saying. I think it just needs to be studied more. And then figured out how it's going to work. I don't know if we should figure it out. This going to work any good? We're not sure. Speaking of pipes and water and things and pipes and water and stuff, the Cambria are looking for other test sites. December setback in water sampling forces a fresh look at alternatives. So they were going to have a series of sampling tests near the mouth of Santa Rosa Creek, is now seeking other possible locations from which to draw salty or brackish water into a desal plant. We'll also be taking a look at other possible alternatives for bringing stable new water supplies to town. Now, what are those? Alternatives would be considered during federal and state level environmental studies being done for the district's desal project. So far, the project doesn't have a location from which to draw in salty water and flush out the hypersaline brine byproduct of desal. Options could include reservoirs for storing rainwater, water reuse and recycling programs, or exchanging water from the Nascimento Lake for water from Whale Rock Reservoir. I see what they're saying. Here's what they do. They give us, we give them, they give us. Whale Rock Reservoir serves two places. It serves the Men's Colony in San Luis Obispo, period. The one in Cayucas. So they have Whale Rock up there, And so they're saying, well, maybe we could do some swappage. You know, we'll take some of Whale Rock's water because it's closer than anything else. And then we'll give you some of the Lake Nacimiento water that is allocated to us. So I think what they're saying there. See, my idea was that San Luis Obispo would just take, I realize how selfish this is, but I'm just trying to be practical. San Luis Obispo could just have built a pipeline right to Whale Rock Reservoir from Nacimiento and not shared it with anybody. But actually, that wouldn't work probably because, Whale Rock's only so tall and the water would overspill it. So anyway, but let's not get into how they blew out the wells years ago and ruined Cayucos' water supply, because Cayucos had the finest natural water supply in the entire world, and they screwed it up. So we're not going to talk about that. But there's got to be ways to do things. And there was talk of a one of the valley-ish things, whatever you call them. I don't know what you call them, an arroyo, a valley or something. North of Cayucos, that they thought for years, it was discussed that if this was dammed, they could the water would go behind it and form another reservoir. But somewhere that, when these things go away and you don't hear about them again, when they talk about them, it's like, this is very viable. We could do this and everything would be hunky-dory. You go, well, then, by gosh, we should. And then somebody says, well, no, let's not do it now. And you go, okay, well, we'll put it away. And then it goes into some file that then goes into the netherworld, and you never hear about it again. The Cayucos Reservoir, not Whale Rock, the other Cayucos Reservoir, was there. I read about it. I mentioned it on the radio years ago. We talked about it. But somewhere that went away. Okay. So here's the next good news. Girl Scouts are marking their first 100 years. The first 100 years of the Girl Scouts, and that's exciting right now. And that's in 2012, I take it. Okay, at 2012. And they're still selling the cookies they made from year number one.
Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends.
Friends are for. Hi, hey, thanks for being a friend. This is Bill Benneker. We'll get together again tomorrow at noon. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap.
The game is over.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benneker.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Yeah.